Good morning. Today is Friday, Veterans Day. Oh, you guys do anything special in the fire department for Veterans Day?
Not anything special like for like we normally do for like 9/11 or anything like that. But I know that we do put out social media posts and whatnot to honor veterans and show our appreciation for their sacrifices.
Do you have any vets on staff?
We currently have one. He's a Coast Guard. He's a former Coast Guard rescue swimmer. But other than that, we haven't had a main service vet in a long time.
We do like a cake or something for him?
He's supposed to be working today, but I think he called in sick, actually. He's ill today, so.
Gets to take his own day off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe he'll be at the event down at the Adorney. Yeah. You're going to have somebody there, right?
Yeah, we usually have a representative down there. Yeah. Myself or the chief will be down there, so.
Well, you're not dressed for it, dude.
What's that? Oh, it's early. I got.
Oh, Billy Reynolds, by the way, from Humblebee Fire. And you brought along a buddy, too.
Absolutely. We come in pairs a lot of times, so. And I'll let her introduce herself because she's new to our organization.
Pairs. I thought cops ran in pairs. I thought you guys went in threes.
Well, we're in the prevention world, so a lot of times we're in pairs. They don't give us a third person, so.
Two's enough.
Oh, you and your buddy. What was the name? Oh, what was the name of the rabbit? The movie in the, was it the 50s, the 60s?
Oh,
The Invisible Rabbit.
Harvey the Rabbit?
Yes, Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I've never seen the movie or anything like that.
All right. Fine. Go ahead. Do the thing.
Well,
if he's not going to introduce you.
I'm Talia. I just got hired on in September. I'm the new community risk reduction specialist. So I do a lot of the fire prevention stuff, community outreach. I'll be making our social media posts that he was talking about.
And the cake? You're going to deliver the cake?
I will not be delivering the cake.
Oh.
I would if somebody had asked me, but, you know, I do love to bake.
Oh, you're a baker?
I do. I love to bake.
Oh.
And cook. I love to be in the kitchen. I'm here for it.
Do they draft you at the different fire stations then?
Oh, definitely. Oh, okay. Everybody loves it when I cook at the stations.
Oh, everybody.
Uh-huh. Everybody.
I see. We're at absolutes now.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing she doesn't mention, too, is she's also a Blue Lake volunteer firefighter. So
yeah.
She's actually got the practical experience as a firefighter, too. So I think she makes her presence known throughout the county.
I try my best.
Blue Lake and Humboldt Bay. I bet you there's not too many that have done that. All right. You ready? Did he warn you at all?
Something along
all right.
the lines, yes.
Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
All right. Why do we say cologne?
Well, the only, again, initial thought, and I get myself in trouble with my initial thoughts, is I think of, I believe there's a region of France called Cologne, I think it is.
Yeah.
And my thought is it was, the concept was conceived there of putting something together, whether chemical or herbs or natural things, to make yourself smell nice?
Nah.
Okay.
Do you want to take a shot?
I mean, I know it's a French word, French-derived, but other than that, I have never even thought about that.
All right. Pure air helped to persuade the Roman Emperor Claudius to choose a special site for a city. Named the Colonia Agrippina, in honor of his wife, the place flourished. By the time it had become a beautiful German city of cathedrals, it was known as Cologne. That would be the German Cologne, guys.
Okay.
All right. In England and France and Cologne, Germany. An Italian merchant who lived there learned to make a light scent by adding alcohol and aromatic oils to traditional perfume bases. His Cologne water, or, all right,
yeah, I'm going to stay away from
you
that.
You did cologne?
Yeah, I know. It's one of those perfumey, I can't even. Prompted dozens and then hundreds of perfumers. Boy, that's a weird word. Perfumers. To adapt his technique. It was a smooth, short one when we started out here. Whip a little French on us and then give me a tongue twister. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably should have just forgotten about it today.
Hey, fun fact of the day.
So here we are, a little bit of a coolness in the air, a little briskness in the morning. Challenges associated with that?
Well, I think the biggest challenges we see from our end of things is usually, you know, this time of year, people's heaters start kicking on and they haven't had them on in a while. So, and a lot of times the floor furnaces kick on and they've got their rugs pulled a little too close. That's usually a big issue.
Fireplaces also. People not getting their fireplaces cleaned
You mean essence of burnt bird?
Could be. It could be remnants on top of their chimney, in their chimney. Just that stuff will go up immediately.
I don't think, unless you've been by a chimney fire, a good chimney fire, you don't understand what creosote really can do.
A nice red glowing chimney fire.
Oh, the choo-choo train.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how it's been described. I've never, well, I've experienced trains, but I've never experienced a chimney fire that sounds like a train.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many nuances with a chimney fire. You know, a lot of times we would get there when I was still on the engine, and we have somebody on the roof with their garden hose just dumping water down their chimney, not realizing, one, that they're going to crack their chimney and ruin their chimney by doing that, but two, that all that water is going to go somewhere, and it's usually pouring out into their living room and everything. And again, and there's so many ways. Again, there's just, again, over the years in the fire service, you learn these different techniques of putting chimney fires out. Like a lot of times, taking wet, wadded up newspaper and put that in the firebox, and all that steam from that newspaper will help put the fire out for you, and it's going to do a lot less damage, if any damage, than putting a garden hose down there.
So you need moisture rather than trying to starve the oxygen?
Right.
Closing the vents, too.
Closing the flue
to
does help.
To starve it, yeah. We'll definitely.
Yeah, the flue.
Yeah. Yeah. Will absolutely help slow it.
So in the midst of the moment, I'm sure that's what everybody is thinking about.
Right.
How often should you have a chimney cleaned?
Yearly.
Yeah, yearly is a good way to look at it. And a lot of times we use these little trigger points like when you change your smoke detector battery, usually when you do the time change. And so I would usually, again, I haven't had a chimney cleaned in a long time because I don't have a chimney in my house. But I used to basically do it basically when I would do the fall back, I would always basically think about, okay, I need to get my chimney cleaned or at least inspected and looked at by a professional. So,
same with the wood stoves?
Yes, absolutely. Wood stove. They can basically have that creosote build up just the same, and you can have some problems too. And it's not the actual chimney itself you got to worry about. It's spreading to the attic and the rest of the house. So,
all woods?
What's that?
All woods have a byproduct of creosote, or do the dry ones have less?
Ones that are a little bit more oily. I'm not sure the exact – I'm not going to the species or anything like that, but there are ones that are worse than others.
Like Monterey pine?
Potentially.
There's nothing good about those things. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. I'm getting it handed to me by both of you during the breaks. Talia and Bill from Humble Bay Fire. Floor furnaces, yeah. Christmas trees, yeah. That kind of stuff. Are candles still an issue?
They can be.
I love candles. I don't like what they do to me, the smells. Yeah, I mean, you buy it, you think it's cool, and then I start having reactions, and it's not too cool. But most of those are the big old pillars. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Even, well, I guess maybe in a hurricane they would, but otherwise, I mean, they're solid. Are they, you guys still run into fires where they're the tapers and they tip over and somebody's got it like a bunch of leaves from outside and they've got it on the table and it's looking pretty and then all of a sudden, they got an event?
Here locally, we've kind of run the gamut. It's not so much they get tipped over. It's more of the times how close they get put to things. Like last year, we had a fire where the people had the candle right near their window. And well, not in front of the window, obviously, but the window was open. And the wind was blowing the drapes towards the candle. And eventually, the drapes caught, and it climbed up the wall, and we were off to the races. So it's not so much the tipping over that we worry about. It's more the placement, and also if you leave candles unattended. We run the gamut of it. So,
pets can be another thing. Cats walking around on counters.
Cats on fire. I understand.
Yeah, cats on fire. You know.
Okay, maybe I need to learn to count to three before I say something. Does drywall burn?
No, actually, not really. It's, I mean,
you said it went up the wall. I'm thinking, okay, the curtain could catch on fire, but
usually it's the wall coverings that help it basically get to that point.
Okay.
So you have pictures, you have drapes, and you have things like that, and then usually you start getting things that drop down, and then you start getting the dresser on fire and whatnot, and it's if you, there's a lot of good videos on YouTube about it. If you watch basically the progression of fires on YouTube, it can be pretty insane to watch how quickly it goes too. It's pretty scary.
You have a really narrow focus in your life, don't you?
I do. It's a curse.
Bedrooms, are they? Is that the primary area for candles or for fires to start? I would have thought either the kitchen or maybe like a living room or something like that. You know, when the unattended part, you're there and then you go and you forget.
You know, I think it varies just from person to person. I mean, like, for example, in my house, we don't have candles. I'm death on them, and my wife loves them. I'm death on them. I say, please no.
Do you have the battery jobs?
But yeah, we do. Actually, I like the look of them. I just don't like the hazard they provide. But and bedrooms, yes and no. I think, as far as candles, if I had to really narrow down an area where we've had fires with candles, have been in bathrooms, because a lot of times people light a candle after they've done their business or whatever. And
that would be a bath.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So it again, that's just my experience, and that's kind of
walk out and forget.
Absolutely, and but I'm sure that
that's,
you know,
right. Towels probably, would be
potentially
bathroom
and
rugs if it got knocked over.
Sure,
right.
Yeah, that flaming cat thing. Yeah. I sense we're going to have a video here shortly.
Oh man,
let's not.
Okay, a little Photoshop going on, a little creative licensing. What's the biggest surprise people have about how fires start? Inside, I mean, this kind of thing, not the really gross or easy to understand,
right.
But this time of the year, what's the biggest surprise? Is it the furnace? Is it the candles? Is it the turkey?
Again, I think it's really dependent upon the circumstance.
Trends here, bud. Trends.
You know, honestly, I think the biggest surprise I think people have is the flammability of their Christmas trees. We're not through the Christmas season just yet. I don't consider Christmas season until we're after Thanksgiving usually. But I think that, people that don't have water in their Christmas tree and basically keep the Christmas tree, soaked in water and whatnot, or treated with a flame retardant chemical, those things go quick. They're like gasoline. And again, I hate to go back to the YouTube video thing, but it is absolutely
the
insane.
The ones with the flame retardant?
The ones,
just
no,
watered
the regular,
not watered.
Okay.
Yeah. On your tree.
The dry tree.
Yeah.
And even if you keep them watered, they still dry out over time. And I know, and again, I'm as guilty as the next person.
Yeah, they'll seal up.
We still have a natural Christmas tree in our house every year. My wife refuses to go to an artificial one, which I'm a good husband. I understand that. But no candles. But by the end of the Christmas season, when we're getting ready to remove that thing, it's so brittle and dried out that it's crazy, even though we keep it in water the entire time.
Yeah, you can tell when you're walking it out and more needles are left than come outside with you.
True enough.
Well, I would think, I didn't really understand or appreciate. I understand that there's a certain plumber in the area that did a little experiment in his front lawn a couple of years ago.
Oh,
you haven't heard?
No.
That'll be during the break. But if you've ever done a burn pile, you just put on a couple branches of a pine tree or a fir tree, and boom. I mean, you can understand really how quickly something like that can go. I'm actually surprised that it didn't happen more regularly in the old days when they had real candles on the trees.
Right.
And maybe it did, and that was just part of the holiday season.
I am too. That's insane.
So what's Christmas like in Southern California?
Gosh, it's been a while. I don't go back down there anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. The rig doesn't go south.
It used to, but Yeah. Not so much anymore.
All right. Well, we won't have to talk about sand then as a way to prevent fires. KINS News.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. Hey, it looks like we might even have a little bit of sunshine out there shortly.
Woohoo. Ah.
Wahoo?
Yeah.
That's it? Wahoo?
I'm being subdued. I have much stronger feelings about that than I'm letting on right now.
It's early.
Yeah.
He covers it well, doesn't he? Bill and Talia from Humble Bay Fire alongside this morning. Daylight savings was last weekend.
Yes.
Typically, it's the week after, you know, so we can talk about that. Do people remember to replace the batteries in their fire alarms or smoke alarms? There's carbon monoxide, you know, that type of thing. Are we remembering those things, or is it kind of passe, or are most of them now hooked up to the electrical system?
We try to put it out there to remind people to do that, to at least test them monthly. And then during the daylight savings, we do tell people to replace their batteries, hoping that people are at least testing them to know if they're working or not. We do tend to get a lot of calls asking about them, if they're beeping, like 30 seconds apart, like the batteries could be dying, something like that. And or taking them off the wall, checking them. Like
they don't think to check the battery themselves?
They just don't know what's wrong with them at all, which they don't know if it's alarming or if it's dead.
No, it is alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But people, yeah, they're just unsure. So we try to remind people.
And where we had really good success is in the schools, because when we go to the schools, we do our second grade program. We talk to the second graders about smoke detectors and everything. And that's one of the things we challenge them and say, go home and ask mom and dad to check the smoke detector. And the kids are great about going home and saying, mom and dad, the fire department visited the school today, and they want us to check our smoke detector. So, and I need to do that. It's a homework assignment, and I want to make sure I get this done. And they come back, and we get the gamut again of basically kids saying, ours worked, it was fine. And I'm saying, yeah, I found that ours was dead, and we replaced the battery, and it works now. So there's a lot of success there.
I know there's stories about people pulling the batteries off to use them for something else. Do you guys run into that, that's more common than what most of us would think?
We do run into that. It's crazy because people have the best of intentions most of the time. I'm going to take that, especially when they're cooking. They're cooking. There's a smoke detector a little bit too close to the kitchen. They pull the battery out because it keeps alarming, right? But I'm going to put that in right after I get done, you know, cooking. But then the phone rings. But then someone needs help with homework. Then the dog needs to go out. And then it never gets put back in there. And there's a lot of times you go into these places.
Where do they put the battery? I mean, all you have to do is like put it on the sill over the sink or over the dishwasher,
some of them,
so it's
you
right
just
there.
Pull right off the, like,
well, yeah, you pull the whole unit
off
out.
The wall, yeah, and yeah. Like you might not even realize that it's like hanging down a little bit or whatever the case may be, and they just forget to put it back.
I don't think I'm too sanctimonious about this, but are you kidding?
It happens.
And again, it's
interesting.
On the lowest possible level, it's an honest mistake. They meant to put it back in, they didn't do it, and we go into residences, you know, for whether it's a call for service for an incident or something, and we'll see smoke detectors that are hanging open all the time with no battery in it, and we'll say, hey.
So that's pretty common.
It's relatively common, again, because, and that's partly the educational aspect of not, people just don't, you don't know you need your smoke detector until you need your smoke detector. And most of the time, people's experience with their smoke detector is I set it off when I was cooking, and it's just this annoying sound, and it's upsetting the dog. So they unplug it. They don't really think about what it's doing for them.
How about not burning something on the stove?
Well, there's
just
that
as
too.
A concept.
There's that too. So
yeah, but open the door and the windows and that kind of stuff before it triggers.
Right.
Especially
right.
With Thanksgiving, that's like a really big deal. I was just looking at the statistic. I think it's 49% of cooking fires happen during the Thanksgiving season. Either people leaving the stove unattended, cooking a turkey incorrectly, whatever the case may be.
That would be overdone.
Yeah, overdone, for sure.
Obviously, right? Yeah. I mean, if it's underdone, you're not going to, yeah. You didn't even pick up on that one, did you? It was going right over you. kid. Yeah, you never hear about mashed potatoes catching fire.
Yeah, those are a little bit harder to catch on fire.
Another something to incorporate into that next press release, huh? Don't let your mashed potatoes catch fire.
We went from flaming cats to flaming potatoes. Yep.
That's the magic of this show. All right, Winston's getting a little anxious. KINS, news and information time.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets. It's more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Bill and Miss Talia this morning about Thanksgiving and other things related. The fact that we haven't had too many fires in the area, we've had a little bit of moisture in the last little bit. Time to breathe easy or not?
Not yet.
Other than chimney fires.
Yeah, well,
Christmas trees exploding and cats on fire. Yeah.
As far as the wildland stuff goes in California, obviously, we've talked about this before, but there's not really a fire season anymore. It's kind of fire season all year round. And the car fire in Redding a few years ago happened in November. So it's while you can rest a little bit easier, it's not time to say fire season's over yet.
So. Well, apparently we never can say that now.
True enough. Yeah. So,
how about the stupid season? Are we through that yet?
I think that's year round, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. What do Christmas tree retailers have to do? Do they need permits or any kind of sprinklers or anything from you guys? And I'm thinking all those trees that are there, if worst case scenario, it could really be something rather exciting. Or do you just kind of pop in and...
We
say hi.
Typically, I pop in and say hi. There's no formal inspection process for that. Typically, the nice thing about the Christmas tree lots is they're not inside. They're in a parking lot that have a lot of clearance from buildings and whatnot. The trees that are being sold are usually pretty green, so we don't have that problem with the dried out Christmas trees and stuff. And you know, obviously, they have to go through the steps with the city and whatnot to get a business license and stuff like that. And we'll get a list of where the tree lots are.
And that gives you your list.
And yeah. I can just basically stop in and see what they're doing and everything. And honestly, in the time I've been doing this, we've never had an issue with the Christmas tree lots. They're happy to have us come by and look at stuff. You know, the only other thing with them is a lot of times if they're in a parking lot, they have a generator running. And just making sure they're doing normal generator safety.
What's that?
Obviously, having safe refueling practices, making sure that their fuel is stored in a safe location, making sure they have the appropriate clearance of, you know, have the generator's exhaust pressed right against the wooden fence or something like that, making sure they have...
That is enough to possibly ignite something?
Over time, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
So it'll just dry it out to the point where it becomes combustible?
Yeah, paralyzed down, and it could, over time, begin...
What was that word?
Paralyze. It's a chemical decomposition of a substance through the action of heat.
Did you take chemistry in high school?
I did. I was
okay, that explains why. Hey, I didn't go to that part of school. Okay, so it gets to that point. Well, you guys probably deal with it like with attics and that kind of stuff with fires too.
Right. Yeah.
The same concept.
Exactly.
That's where the chimney fires come from. Like, we're not necessarily worried about the chimney. We're worried about the fire spreading through the attic because as soon as the fire goes up the chimney, it's just going to crawl through the house. And, I mean, attic fires are...
Nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you like really big skylights.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the byproduct of that. Yeah.
Adding all the water, all that weight to that top level of the house, I mean, is completely compromising everything.
Well, the firemen are always so light.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Us and our 60 pounds of extra gear.
Yeah, something along those lines. Oh, boy. Christmas wreaths. Yeah, a lot of people will use them on the outside as decoration as well as on the inside. I've always thought, because those tend to kind of get woven around candles, that could be the trigger point for a lot of folks if they're not paying attention, or for whatever reason, maybe it was a sprig gets in the wrong place and now it's close enough for action. But no one has ever mentioned that. I mean, like in 40 years, no one has said Christmas wreaths or the accents. A non-issue point?
I think there's always potential there. I think anytime you use natural vegetation for something, if you're using a natural vegetation wreath, again, it'd be subject to the same drying out as a Christmas tree. So, and again, my first thought when you mentioned Christmas wreaths was the people that put the candles in them. And anytime you have that dried out,
still in the tree?
Not so much the tree, but in the wreath, the wreath itself.
Right. That hole in the center.
There's that potential there and everything. And I think the reason we don't see it so much anymore is most of the wreaths you see are store bought plastic.
Treated.
That I can't comment on. I don't know if people are treating their Christmas wreaths.
If the tree got sprayed, I would think wreaths.
I would think so too, and I would hope that. But honestly, from my experience in doing it, that's not something I've ever checked for. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. This is because most of the things, like I said, we have Christmas wreaths at home for our decorations, but they're all store-bought, reusable plastic ones that we don't put lights or candles in, obviously.
Not so. Christmas tree purchased.
Right.
Or Christmas tree retailer.
But that's a really good thought. I'm not sure if that's even a requirement, but it probably should be.
Is flocking flammable? Or flammable?
I don't have a whole lot of experience with flocking, so
I don't like them either.
I'm pretty sure flocking is flammable. I know that the Christmas tree lots that I used to go to in Southern California had warnings, like, be careful.
Don't get flocked?
Yeah, be careful with your flocking, you know? I mean, because they can be more flammable.
That's got to be firehouse humor, too, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I could go down a lot of roads there.
Yeah, yeah. Probably best just to climb in the sleigh and not worry about it, right? The electrical wires. Yeah, what's it called? Daisy chain? And you just kind of give it a series and you have. Is that much of a concern around Christmas trees? Yeah, I mean, you get those, and you're only supposed to, have two of the light strands at a time connected, and then an end run, so to speak, to the plugs. Do people overload their circuits?
We do still see that. I always think, whenever I think of that question, I always think of the old movie A Christmas Story, and they had it back.
BB guns.
Yeah.
Right?
They don't have
BB guns in my Christmas tree,
You'll shoot your eye out kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's one scene where they're plugging in the Christmas tree, and they have their big plug cluster and everything, and as the dad plugs it in, it blows a fuse and sends sparks and
your favorite part of the movie?
Not the
tongue sticking. I really do not. The only thing I think that's socially redeemable out of that entire story, and Stefan's going to get hacked off, but it's okay. The leg lamp. Oh, now Winston's throwing things at me too. Fine, okay. Another family tradition shot down by the flying duck. See, aren't you glad you came along?
Definitely.
All this insight into our weirdness around here. Well, hopefully this weekend's going to be a calm one, and it's a 3-day weekend for some folks, and they don't have to worry about it, and we'll just kind of sail into Thanksgiving, right?
But hopefully, and hopefully people know that the day off today is, you know, because the people that made sacrifices are our veterans.
Yeah, remember, it is Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you. See everybody on Monday.